Okay, while y'all eat, I'm gonna go ahead and get started. It is 6:00, yes. It is 6:00, what, I don't, 5?
5.
Okay. Welcome. I'm glad y'all could make it. I'm sorry about the email problems. I don't know. Some people said they got an email that canceled the meeting, and I was getting emails all day, and because I sent y'all an email about a reminder, because I was like, oh my gosh, I hope somebody shows up. But Dr. LeMaster said she was having a Monday and she would be here if she could. And Dr. Barnes said his pickup died 25 miles away.
Oh, no.
I was like, sorry. But anyway, we're going to have this meeting, okay? So welcome. I have this little group up here that are experts, and they're going to critique the things that I say. So, did y'all all get a copy of the minutes from last May? If you can remember in May, you can look through those. I sent those with the agenda the other day, so I don't know if y'all had time to read them, but you can glance over them and did any of this ring a bell to y'all on what we did last May? Can I get a motion?
I motion to accept them.
Okay.
Was it on Zoom?
Was it on? No, we met in person last May. We met in person last May, the last meeting, so. Okay. So, would anyone like to second?
Okay.
All right. Okay. So, the minutes were read and approved. Now, we usually elect officers at this first meeting, but we have been informed that I will be the chairman this year, okay? Because the chairman has to be appointed by the board, and the co-chair has to be someone that has children in AISD. It has to be a parent and they have to have children in AISD. So that narrows the field from the members that we have right now down quite a bit. I think, Elizabeth, you're the only one right now that has children in AISD. So we probably will wait.
I do.
You have children? I didn't know that, man. I didn't know they were all in AISD.
I have one in high school.
Well, then you could qualify, too. So we'll think about it, okay? And each year we have to have y'all fill out one of these applications, and this application will go to the board, and they have to approve each applicant, okay? So I'm going to pass these out, and if y'all can hand this back to me before you leave, okay? And we will do do the co-chair and the secretary, because the secretary too, right, Karen, has to be a parent?
No.
It doesn't? Or the secretary can just be?
Anybody who can take good notes.
Okay.
Definitely want that.
You want that?
No, I said,
you don't want that?
No, not at all. You want somebody that takes good notes.
Right. Okay, Dr. Karen Renos is here tonight, and she's going, the state has given lots of requirements for the shack this year, and so I'm going to let her go over the requirements.
This year, the legislature decided to pass House Bill 1525. Now, that includes a lot of different things in the education code. So one small part of it is, I'm going to back up and ask the mess. One part of it has to do with the shack and the shack committee and their responsibilities. So I'm just going to share the key points that relate to this team. And some of it you already do. You already meet four times a year. That was already something that you did on a regular basis. And the agenda has to be posted at least 72 hours prior to the meeting. Well, that's always been done. But now we have to make sure that agenda is posted at every campus and their administration building. So every office in AISD has to have that posting on their bulletin board, is what it says.
Everybody's going to read that one.
Although, you know, I don't know that we have bulletin boards in the offices anymore. So, but they do have to be posted, and we make sure that happens, and it also has to be posted on the website. So those are new things. The secretary position will be very important because they'll have to maintain the minutes of the meeting and that state the subject that you're talking about, the content you're talking about, how the deliberation went, was there discussion, how was the vote, 5-2, whatever, all of that has to be within the minutes now. And another action that happens is you have to make either an audio or video recording. We are making an audio recording right now. So once that is done, no later than 10 days after this meeting, the secretary will send the administration building the minutes typed out and the voice recording, and then the administration building has to pretty soon post that on the website. So know that whatever's said in here is recorded and is of public use now because it has to be posted. So that's the big part of that one. Of course, there's things that the board has to do, especially when you're looking at if this committee decides they want to revisit the curriculum for human sexuality and for the school district. There is a process that has to go there as well, that the board kind of leads with some public meetings on that. So that, of course, is something you can discuss later. Also included in this bill has to do with our human sexuality class, which you all play a big part of. There now has to be a statement that includes a large number of things within the statement. So there was always a letter to parents. We've always done that at the beginning of the year. Well, now more things have to be included in that letter for parents. So they have to state the requirements under law. They have to give a description of the curriculum. We have to make sure that there's a statement about the parent's right to review it or purchase a copy of the curriculum. There has to be a statement about a student who is removed from the class because a parent chooses not to have them participate, that they will not have any negative impact, they will not be in trouble in any way. If they do not participate. There also has to be some explanation of the grievance procedures if for some reason there was a complaint on the violations of everything. And then a statement that any of the curriculum materials is for public domain, and it has to be posted on our district website. Now, the curriculum that is used right now from Scott and White is copyrighted, so we do not have to post it, and we can't legally post it on the website. But we do have to make it available for parents to see during the school day, and they can come and review it, and they can also purchase a copy if they'd like one. So we have to have that in writing as well. This year, in the past, we've had students, parents say we do not want our child to participate. This year we can't do that. They have to opt in. So a letter will go home to all the parents, and the parents will have to say, yes, I want my child participating in human sexuality instruction. So anyway, a lot of additional really information that has to be made aware to parents now in regards to that. So it's just a little more work for us, and so and a little more difficult definitely for our middle school teachers to try to get those parents to opt in to their students participating in this instruction. So definitely wanted to let you know that, especially the part of being recorded now. And so we want to make sure that everyone's aware of that. Any questions for me?
Y'all are making this easy.
I know. So, okay, since
Dr. Masters, you've had a Monday.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give you a pen, and if you can fill this application out, because the board has to approve us now that you're on the check. So, I'll give you a pen. And Susan? You had a Monday too, it looks like. Okay. My pens are over here. Numerous times in this meeting, and now we have a great opportunity that I'm going to ask Tina, Stephanie, and Jennifer to come up and talk to y'all about that we have partnered with Texas Tech Health Science, and I think it's going to be a great opportunity for AISD, so I'm going to let y'all tell them about it.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you what our district has to offer, and then Jennifer will talk more about what the counselors are actually doing and their partnership with Texas Tech, and then Tina will talk more about social workers. Over the past 5 years, we've really realized that in order to teach the whole child, we've got to focus on behavioral needs and social and emotional needs. We can't just expect kids to get that at home anymore, and so we really have to give them that support at school. We have, all of our campuses have a social and emotional curriculum that is direct taught by a teacher to all students. It's built into their schedules. Our elementary uses Leader in Me. Our middle schools use Second Step, and then our high schools use Character Strong. This is our first year that all campuses are doing social emotional learning. We're also partnering with Dr. Adam Sines, who is, he has emotional intelligence intervention, and he has come in and spoken to all of our staff once already for everybody, twice for administrators, and then he'll be here October the 8th, and he is teaching us how to recognize our social and emotional intelligence, how to take care of ourselves so that we can take care of the children. All of our campuses have counselors on campus. We have 4 behavior coordinators district-wide. One of them is Susan Webb, and she focuses solely on our mental health of our students. We have specialized classes for kiddos who are severe behavior or severe mental health issues. We also have 7 social workers that work with all of the campuses. And we've been able to increase that support. We started off with 2 behavior coordinators. We've gone up to 4. We started off with 3 or 4 social workers, and now we're up to 7. And we're still seeing a need there's a higher need. And so I'm gonna let Jennifer talk about our counselors. This is really our first line of defense. When there's something that happens on the campus, we go to the counselor. If the counselor can't meet those needs, they're gonna reach out to either social workers or a behavior coordinator if it's more behavioral instead of mental health. And so I'll let each one of them kind of talk about what their services offer.
So this is my 3rd year to be the person who's in charge of counseling. And we worked on the counselor as triage model is kind of what we call it. So we're lucky in AISD, every single campus has at least 1 school counselor. Middle school, each of those have 2, and then the high schools, there's 4 academic ones, a special education counselor, plus there's the SAS counselor at the high school campuses. So our kids have ample access to a school counselor. They are there, the Texas model says they're supposed to help address guidance. They're also there for system support, they're for individual planning, and then they're there for responsive services. So they see pretty much that opportunity to touch every single kid. So like Stephanie said, we feel like the first line of defense for a student who may be experiencing a crisis is they're gonna come into the counselor who's gonna triage what's going on with that student. And so we have the capabilities then to refer them to our social workers, or we can refer them for outside services. And this year, one of the outside services, we partner with a memorandum of understanding with Texas Tech and Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. And they are helping to have mental health providers for our students. And so a counselor, a social worker, or a nurse can actually refer a student to these services. And what they do is they'll set up either a counseling session, or if the child needs even greater need, then they'll set a student up with a psychiatrist. It is a telehealth visit. And so what they'll do is they'll begin to see that student as many times as it takes to get that kid into a live counselor, you know, someone face-to-face, or what they'll do is refer to a psychiatrist. And since psychiatric services are really hard to come by in Abilene, we're pretty fortunate that we can use that with Texas Tech. We also have someone in district who was hired this year as an LPC that we can refer our students to if we just need, sometimes a student will come in, they're in crisis, and we need to get them to a counselor, but it's a couple weeks away before they can actually get to that appointment. And so we have an LPC on staff now that we can help fill the gap for that kid until they can get face to face with an actual therapist. When we decide that the need is something that our social workers can help out with, then our counselors all know the process for referring our students for social work services, and we walk that path and hand them off to Tina.
So what I really enjoy is that we have a great partnership within the district where we're looking holistically at a student and not just looking at the presenting issue that may be a result from a referral. So we do. We have 7 of us, and I included C students on a regular basis. And the referrals come in, I process those, and the way we work is that we have each social worker is housed at an elementary campus. Most of them are serving 2 campuses where I'm serving just 1. And then when we have a middle school or high school referral, we look back at the feeder school to see where they attended. So that way there's only 1 social worker per family unit. And it gives a better comprehensive approach in helping families. And we really look at the ecological systems, family systems, to see what we can help with. So the services that we do provide, again, is outside counseling, and some of our social workers are also meeting face-to-face with students and doing counseling with students. We are highly involved in our community, so we do a macro practice where we look and see what other systems are in place to really help support our families. We work very closely with APD, we work with our mental health facilities here in town, also the extenuating long-term
facilities that are outside of Abilene, but we're working with students that are being placed in long-term treatment centers. So we kind of look holistically at the student, and that partnership is really important, but really helping families know that AISD does care about their family, not just the student. And so it's been a great partnership. We have been up and running since September of 2019, seeing students, but we are seeing the need in mental health and crisis situations and behaviors. So looking closely at the student and working with the families, we've been able to really help families change some of the outcomes. But also then, we work very closely with our behavior coordinators, so that way when that student reaches a higher level, that we can help kind of pass that student on along to them.
Okay. I'm excited about this program because I really think that it's going to be a great thing. So, y'all have any questions for them, or?
I do.
Okay.
What specifically do y'all do in substance use issues, substance use and misuse issues? Do you have a specific program that you send them to, or referral services in those issues? Because, and what I think you're doing is magnificent. I think upping what you've done with behavioral services, that's my heart, and I think it's wonderful. But I also believe in specifically substance use and misuse issues. And so what...
We do have, well, it starts off, if they have substance abuse issues or if they are on a campus, then we have disciplinary, which is not, that's not the answer that I'm talking about. But once they get over to our DAP with Barbara Massey, she has Serenity House, and they come in and they do some trainings with the kids, and it's a very safe place. We do have a staff, an AISD staff person in there, but we make it where it's not an administrator or anyone that's going to say, oh, well, they should be in more trouble because they've been having this issue. It's a safe person, and they talk through and work through the substance abuse issues, and if they need any additional outside, Serenity House helps find that for them. So they have a specific curriculum that they go through. They come in, I think, weekly. And we did get it approved bi-weekly. Last year we were only able to do it virtually, but because it is a counseling service, we got it approved for them to actually come, because that face-to-face in a small group setting is much more powerful. And so we're not letting a lot of people in our campuses, but anything right. that is a counseling service, we've been approved to allow them in, so they are coming.
And several of our campuses are using Serenity House as a preventative measure as well. So like at the middle and elementary schools, they'll have those conversations like in per their guidance, like our
for prevention.
Counsel, yes.
Right, yes, they yeah. have the impact program.
Yep.
This really
yep.
impact.
And they're using yeah, those in our middle and elementary programs.
So may I ask you, back to her question, like, is there any like middle school or high school, since we do not have health classes, or that all students aren't required to do health, is there any classes that they receive, like the substance abuse or vaping or, you know, any kind of, that we used to teach in health class? Where are they getting that now?
I know that they're doing some of that through like principles of health science, like the programs that lead into Holland. And then I think even like in counseling and mental health, that particular curriculum, there's a course. Then I don't know if maybe our human services curriculum may have a little bit in there too.
So they're getting it at elementary and through the impact program, and it's done through the counselors and guidance lessons. And then once they get into middle school, if they choose to not take health, when they get into the other CTE courses, principles of health sciences, things like that, then they're getting some of that. It's embedded in the curriculum.
Okay.
And so it's not, that's not the only thing they talk about, but those issues are embedded into the curriculum.
Currently, right now, we're looking at changing some of the courses, mm-hmm. electives at middle school. Mm-hmm. So that's being looked at to really, you know, really make an impact, hopefully, and give them a little more option. So that's in the process for this year.
Would y'all have any questions? I mean, Dr. Lemasters, you see, I know we've talked about this before, about how many patients you see a day that probably could use the mental health services.
Sure, yeah, yeah, I mean, then it's great to have it in the schools, but a lot of the parents just don't take, for whatever reason, they can't get to counseling.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's great, and I think that the Texas Tech program would be really great. Because we can access that too, mm-hmm. to get advice on medication management until they can get in with a psychiatrist as well. Very useful.
I think one of the things that we, as we look at macro in our community and what support systems, we know that our mental health facilities are being inundated with increased needs, and so beds are not available. And so we're having to really now to really outsource outside of Abilene for families. And so as we think about that, when we talk to other mental health providers, it just what can we do to help support maybe bringing in other counselors and so forth, but they're full. And
it's very sad. There's approximately 4 state-funded facilities for youth in the state of Texas,
yes.
for substance use issues.
Yes.
And that's horrible, because there's a heck of a lot more youth,
yes.
that have the issues than there are places that are funding that right now. So. Yeah, and that's just a behavioral thing that comes from a core issue. So,
well, any other questions, comments? Hey, y'all, come on. We got the
Linda, I could
here.
Talk about it all night long, but nobody wants to hear this. If I could save all the kids, I would.
Well, if you have any questions later and you send them to me, I will get them to the right person and they can respond back to.
Well, I do have one now that's come up. Time to think about it a little bit. So if we have somebody in our offices and we're like, they need a counselor, can we tell them to contact their school counselor, and will y'all help them find an outside private or therapist? Okay,
yes.
That's good to know.
We have a list of resources that we can give to the students. And if a kid is in active crisis, then they are like, they need somebody to visit with, we will refer them for, to one of our facilities here. But then the district also has a program where we will help to provide up to 5 sessions for a student who needs to be seen by a counselor and maybe can't afford it. And so we have a list, and we try to, the campus counselors are really good about calling and say, this kid really needs to be seen. Can you help the family? And so we try to make sure kids that really need that help get the help that they need.
So we can just say, go talk to your school counselor tomorrow, and they'll help you find.
Yes, yes. Great. And if that counselor can't, then they're going to refer them to Tina.
Okay.
And probably best to follow up with an email of their name to make sure that they do, because the next day it might not be so crucial to be seen by somebody.
Right.
So.
And on our webpage for the Student Family Support Services, we actually have an agency referral link on there that you can access. So that way, if they're needing extenuating support, that outside of just the counseling, there's family dynamics where they're needing help with basic utilities and so forth. We assist with that also.
Well, I said a minute ago I was going to make y'all go around and tell your name and where you're from and what you do. So these ladies will know y'all because y'all know them now. So let's do that right quick. So I don't want to catch you if you're young. You want to start me?
Sure.
We'll start over here.
I'm Mandy Schumann. I'm the Coalition Coordinator for Taylor Alliance for Prevention and Abilene Recovery Council.
I'm Elizabeth Wilson. I have 2 high schoolers now, a 9th grader and an 11th grader at Upland High, and I'm a family nurse practitioner over at a group family practice over here. So.
Carol Sanderson, you all know me. here at the Ab Building for Physical Education and Health Facilitator.
Patient with Masters, I'm a pediatrician here.
Olga Shabon, I'm an outreach specialist for first care, clients, health clients, but we're part of Better Scotland Life. And our insurance, of course, is is on the STAR program, which is like room students and whatever, and we assist on those that have insurance. So that's good to know that y'all are, like you said, finding the ones. And then my question was on the cost, you know, like if they didn't have insurance, you'll help them out anymore.
And Texas Tech does not charge for the services, the psychiatric services, and or the counseling services.
Okay.
Right. So, yeah.
My name is Bruce Crook. My wife's a pediatrician here in town. Our kids graduated from Cooper in 2011 and 2013. And I even taught for a year, which is very interesting. Some of the ladies over there.
I'm Susan Webb. I'm the district mental health coordinator and one of the coordinators of the board that they were referencing. I'm also the member of the therapeutic intervention programs. We have four of those in the district, two at the elementary level and one at the middle school level and one at the high school level that address the mental health needs of the students. Those are one of our tier three programs we have here in the district. And I have a senior this year. Is it Alice?
I'm Stephen Proctor, and outreach counselor with Maximus, and what that is we assist Medicaid families and what doctors we work with, pregnant women and children birth to one. With the Texas Health Stamps.
I wasn't sure if this was relevant, but I think it might be a social work question. So we had a situation. I often am helping with the Alinka band halftime show and stuff. My son is in band, and so I have been the designated first aid person a couple of times. And the first week, a student had an asthma attack, and she had not used her preventive inhaler. Her inhaler, her fast-acting inhaler, prior to the game and or to the show. And so at that point, I just talked to her about it. I was like, okay, next week, let's use this before the show, and then let's see how you do. And I said, do you have a preventive steroid inhaler, like one you take every day to maintain your asthma? And she said, no, I can't afford one, which they're very expensive. You will, Marshall Masters will concur on that, I think. All of them are very expensive. So, then this last week at the out-of-town game, this same student actually passed out after the show. And Taylor Tidmore was there, and I was there, and we rushed over. And I think she literally just had an asthma attack and kind of hyperventilated, got herself anyway, all kind of out of sorts. But so he and I talked about that a few weeks ago. I was like, she told me she couldn't afford one. And so we were actually talking even today, trying to figure out, like, how can we get this student what she needs? So I emailed Dr. Kramer, who is the band director, and just said, you know, could you maybe reach out to the nurse or the counselor or something? Is that, like, the right step at this point? Or, because I don't think she's going to be able to keep doing this program. Like, because they're going to do the whole, you know, the whole show on Saturday at a competition, and they're going to wear their big full uniforms, and, I mean, she flat out passed out on the side, so.
You know, we have this problem every day where kids either their parents will not apply for Medicaid for some reason, or they let it lapse, or they make just enough to not be able to, you know. So, we have this with ADD medicine and asthma medicine, preventative meds, because, you know, who can afford a pay out of pocket for $300 or $400 inhaler?
Yeah.
So the Lions Club helps us out a little bit every once in a while on the ADD medicine, but they've never done it with the asthma inhalers.
Our agency helps.
But we have, you do?
Our Padres program does.
So do you have an application that parents fill out?
Yes.
I need to get that from you, Andy, because we have run into this every day.
Yeah.
About.
I mean, you know, Taylor and I both were like, I would write her a prescription, but I'm pretty sure I can't do that with her parents' consent, and I can't really reach out to the parent. And And so, I mean, we both were like, we want to help her, but we're not really sure how. So
BCFS has a program that helps. There's several resources that will help you.
Because we have EpiPens, asthma medicine, and you know, parents beg for EpiPens, and you're just like, I'm sorry, but I can't give you, I mean, I just can't pass those, even though we have these EpiPens that probably will go unused this year, we can't give those out because, you know, we're not licensed to dispense medicine. So, but we like that. I mean, we see that all the time, and it's you hate it. Or they bring somebody else's inhaler, and you're like, I can't use this inhaler because where did you get it? Well, somebody spent the night and they left it at my house, and so I'm using it now. Well, you can't do that.
You can't.
So.
Right.
And if it definitely is a Medicaid issue, you know, we sit down with the family and help them with the application process and try to really encourage them to do some follow through, which again, you know.
You have to do the education with the resource.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But also, a lot of our churches are very helpful when we run into need. Again, that's not sustainable. And so we try to look at a sustainable approach of like, what is really going on? Is it, so even to the point sometimes it's a budgeting issue, right? So looking a little bit deeper into what are those barriers that are affecting them from being able to get.
Right.
Then also, it may be sometimes also applying to the medication pharmaceutical companies to see if there's some kind of application that they can apply for and help them deal with that. But we try to exhaust all available resources. So
send me the child's name tomorrow, and I'll see what we can work out for them. Do you know who her doctor? I mean, don't tell me now.
No, I don't.
I was on three calls with three different people that do parenting classes that do the budgeting and those kind of things today. So definitely that's an avenue to explore.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to know that, Mandy. You'll be getting calls.
With that comes the education piece of that to navigate that in the right direction.
There's a lot of kids out there that really, they don't get the medication they need just because they don't have the funding. So, anyway, so does anybody else have anything else they want to add or any suggestions for the next meeting, what you want to talk about? If not, I will pick. Well, if y'all don't, then email me if you think of something that you would like for me to arrange for.
Is this a lot? We're having a community regional forum if anybody's interested in that. They want to pick one of those up.
Okay.
We're hoping to host that in November.
Okay. Underage drinking and positive community change, so.
How's it going on the COVID front and students? It's no mask anymore. Everybody's calmed down, it seems like.
We were doing 200 tests a day in AISD. We were doing the test 200 at least a day two or three weeks ago. And those numbers have come down. And our positive cases, are y'all seeing that too, have started coming down a little bit every day? I mean, I hate to say anything because I'm a...
Jinx it.
No, but they do seem to be kind of calming down a little bit. So now we're starting to see more flu right now, which... We had three cases last year, the whole school year that was reported to us, and this year we're seeing flu start picking up now, and the stomach virus. So I'm sure Dr. Lamaster can echo that.
I think COVID's calming down until it doesn't, you know, until the next surge. So
right.
Until
the
we
new
get,
variant.
Right, until you get, 70% vaccination, it's gonna keep doing that.
We just hope it runs out of variants, I mean,
yeah,
to some degree, to where you get the,
right,
the herd immunity, the natural immunity, which has always worked for humanity, but this is different.
But it seems like we're getting down to the people that do not want the vaccine. I mean, they just don't want it. Don't ask me why. I mean, they all tell you, you know, different stories, but when you say why, they're just like,
I think it's when people have got the vaccine and then later get COVID and you go, what's going on with that?
Well, mm-hmm. I like the flu.
Yeah, I mean, it prevents infection 85%, but it prevents severe disease 99%.
Mm-hmm.
So
right,
that's my answer. You may still get it, but
yeah,
like, your chances of being in the hospital are almost zero.
The risk groups,
mm-hmm,
they definitely should get it.
Yeah,
the risk groups, no doubt.
So,
Linda, are you hearing anything in regards to the incident? It's more getting it?
I hate to give, but I will tell you this, the number for the incentive, you know, Abilene ISD said they would give $1,000 for any fully vaccinated person by November 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought we would be swamped with people. There's less than 60 people that signed up after. So, I'm telling you, that's why I'm thinking, these people just don't want this vaccine for some reason. When you wave $1,000 in front of them and they're like, mm-mm, I'd rather take my chance and get COVID.
I think they trust our government because the government's pushing it so hard. Not just pushing it, but just so hard all the time.
Well,
if you don't get it, you'll lose your job. Things like that. It's just like, wow.
Okay.
Never seen anything like that. It's new territory for everybody. But.
Yeah.
I think the same thing happened with the city employees.
Really?
When they did the incentive for the city employees, I think it was a similar kind of
mm-hmm.
incident from my
understanding. I just think back of how people just, I mean, they stood in lines for hours and hours to get it. Those people did, and now you can't get anything for it.
Well, in the beginning, nobody really knew, but I mean, 99.8% survival?
Survival?
Those who get it.
Oh.
But they're not
yeah.
in the risk group.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So
I know. See, the ICUs, Cook Children's, they can't refer to them for a while, right?
Yeah, they're starting to have some beds too, but yeah. I talked to them this weekend.
Okay. For a while, they weren't taking anything.
But for a while, we were stuck. We're stuck here. And if, you know, are you stuck in sweet water or something?
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't even get in here.
Crazy. So. Okay, well, I thank y'all for coming so much, and if you have a question or anything, just email me, call me. I appreciate all the emails I get from y'all, so, and I will pick up those applications. Did everybody get one, Susan? No, Carol, you got one. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yep.
when she said, "We can't see the doctor."
And I'm still talking to her.
Yes.
Exactly.
He said, but
it was bad.
Back to the office.
Thanks, Linda.